Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Lots to talk about on this hour of Intelligent Medicine. We're going to talk about a new study that suggests that IV vitamin C may be an effective alternative cancer treatment. And we're also going to take your phone calls, 888-302-3684. And we're in the midst of Olympic fervor. The Olympics at Sochi, Russia, have riveted the world. And a central figure, you just can't avoid this guy, Vladimir Putin, a fascinating guy. And he, you know, he's just like an action figure. He's there presiding over what clearly, you know, he's put his personal stamp on this. He wants it to be a spectacular Olympics that reasserts Russian power a la the Cold War era. And did you know that Vladimir Putin and I share something in common? You know, at first glance, you might think not a lot in common between Dr. Ronald Hoffman and Vladimir Putin. But we share certain things in common. I mean, not, clearly, I'm not someone interested in world domination. You know, I'm okay with the idea of maybe dominating the airwaves in terms of health information, but that's as far as it goes. I don't want to subjugate neighboring countries. you know, I don't want to eradicate my political enemies. I don't want to, you know, talk tough to the West. But actually, we share something in common, a couple of things. What is of interest, I just looked this up. Vladimir Putin and I share the same birth date, October 7, 1952, in St. Petersburg, Russia, and in New Rochelle, New York, at approximately the same time, two baby boys were born. One was turned into Vladimir Putin and one turned into yours truly. And the rest is history. We went you know, very, very different paths. We are exactly the same age. And what we do share in common is that we are inveterate exercisers. Now, you've seen these PR shots of Vladimir Putin wrestling, you know, whatever, wrestling bears, you know, catching fish, riding horses with his shirt off. You know, I kind of wish he would keep his shirt on, actually. But he and I, according to this news story, we share some features of our exercise regimen. This is a news story that says that Vladimir Putin, he reviewed his diet and exercise regimen with ABC News George Stephanopoulos. Who knew? He's a health freak. Weeks before the opening of the Olympics in Sochi, the Russian leader, age 61, precisely my age, said there is no silver bullet for staying in shape, but consistency is the key. And, you know, I totally agree on that point with the Russian president. How does one control weight? By not overeating. How does one stay in shape? One plays sports. There are no magic pills here, Putin said during an interview for George Stephanopoulos' news program. He says, I spend a little time every day to play sports. Last night I was skiing here until 1:30 in the morning. I hit the gym this morning. I swim almost every day, 1,000 meters. And that part really resonated for me because 1,000 meters, you know, translate that to yards. That's a little over 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards translates to 50 laps in a standard pool. And that's something that I can relate to because that's something that I don't do it every day. He says he swims almost every day. Well, you know, you got to put in for a little bit of an exaggeration factor here because he probably does it from time to time. But 1,000 meters is a kilometer. And that is something that I actually, you know, do quite routinely, maybe a couple of times a week or up to three times a week. this morning thinking about Vladimir Putin. I said, let me go further. Let me go. He does 50 laps. I'm going to outdo him. I did 80 laps in the pool this morning. And, you know, I don't, you know, wrestle sharks or ride bareback on Siberian moose. But I, you know, I do believe in the exercise ethic. And he has this little quote. He says, you know, there's a Russian saying, grain by grain, a hen fills her belly. Which I guess is a way of saying, you know, step by step, you know, take it slow. It's actually an interesting illustration of that. It's a news story out of Austin, Texas. 77-year-old walks around the world on a treadmill. See, you don't have to do spectacular feats to stay in shape. This is an interesting story about a guy who, back in 1987, Ike Herrick from Austin, Texas, was just 50 years old when he had his first heart attack. He had an aha moment. He said, I'm too young to have a heart attack. And he drastically changed his diet and he began an exercise regime that included walking every day. That was 27 years ago. And now he's 77, and he has achieved the milestone of having walked around the world. Not literally. He did it in a safer way. There are no sharks, no danger of drowning. You don't get kidnapped by Taliban in Afghanistan. If you walk steadily on a treadmill 3 miles a day, and if you do it for 27 years consistently, you literally will walk around the world. He says he's worn through 2 treadmills and about 20 pairs of sneakers for him to complete his goal, and thereby he has dramatically reversed his heart condition. All right, let's take a call now from, by the way, our number 888-302-3684. We welcome your phone calls. And Carol from New Jersey, welcome.
Dr. Hoffman, I was wondering, I was diagnosed just recently with breast lymphoma. Mm-hmm. Is Laetril effective in fighting breast lymphoma? I don't want chemo, and I don't want radiation.
Okay, so here's the deal. You kind of conflate two different types of cancer. You say, well, breast lymphoma, it's either going to be breast cancer or it's going to be lymphoma. What you may have is you may have lymphoma that is affecting you in the underarm area, so it appears to be adjacent to the breast. Probably that's what we're talking about.
No,
that might be
the breast. It is
in the breast. Okay, that's an unusual phenomenon. I guess there's some lymphatic glands in the breast, but okay. So, but this would be considered a type of lymphoma. So you're talking about what was it you were considering taking?
Laetril.
Oh, so here's the deal with Laetril. Laetril is something that was, it's kind of, you know, old school. So it's so 20th century. It's very like a 1970s kind of alternative cancer remedy that was based on the properties of apricot pits. Apricot pits contain, when highly concentrated, contain some anti-cancer substances. And, you know, we believe that plants may have anti-cancer properties. But I got to say that Laetril never really achieved its promise. It may have some adjunctive benefit. I know there's some complementary physicians who treat cancer who are using Laetril just as part of their regimen in treating cancer. But I don't really think it has a lot of punch. And I certainly don't think that just taking Laetril is a substitute for definitive cancer treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which it sounds like you have.
Yes.
The good news about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is, you know, and I have this conversation a lot with patients. They come and they say, well, you know, tell me ain't so that I don't have to have this surgery or that chemo or that radiation. And sometimes they say, no, that doesn't make sense at all. That's, you know, that would be toxic, dangerous, and, you know, probably not effective. So let's go natural. But in some cases, I say, you know, look, you got to bite the bullet. You got to take the conventional therapy, but we can augment the conventional therapy and we can reduce the side effects by providing you with additional support, especially in cancer. This is the case. And stay on the line or keep listening, Carol, because you're in New Jersey and you hear us via the new 710 WOR.
Yes.
Stay listening, because we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about an exciting story just came out this week about a wonderful adjunctive treatment for cancer that is compatible with conventional treatment and will augment the benefits of conventional treatment. And this is something I've been using for a long time, but finally, we have scientific validation for it, and it really needs to be mainstreamed. This story that I'll share with you is from Health Day, and it's gotten a lot of play in the media. Finally, this therapy is coming to the light of day. All right, 888-302-3684. We welcome your phone calls. We'll be right back. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Hey, Joe, have you ever heard the joke about the guy who can't walk and chew gum at the same time? Well, not only can I walk and chew gum, but I can improve my dental health all at the same time, too.
Seriously, Fred, how does that work?
It's easy. I chew Spry xylitol gum. It's gum with a purpose. Spry is an all-natural gum made with xylitol, not sugar or artificial sweeteners. It tastes great and comes in 5 flavors. You know, Joe, bacteria can't break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. My mouth feels fresh, clean, and healthy.
So who makes Spry?
Spry is made by the folks at Clear. They also have xylitol mints. It's so cool. Like me. My dentist totally recommended it, and it costs the same as regular gum and mints, but you get the added health benefits.
Put the Spry back in your step, and you can walk, chew gum, and help your dental health all at the same time, too. Spry gum and mints are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food retailers nationwide.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. We promised that lady just called who's suffering from lymphoma about a natural therapy that could be compatible with her conventional therapy. And that therapy is intravenous vitamin C. Now, I've been doing this therapy for, well, nigh unto 30 years, started practicing in the 1980s, and I soon became aware of the benefits of intravenous treatment of certain conditions. And if you look up intravenous vitamin C on the internet, that is until this week, you'd get something like this. This is from the Mayo Clinic website, an authoritative website where people look stuff up. So there's a Q&A here. I've heard that vitamin C might be an alternative cancer treatment. What can you tell me about it? So a conventional doctor answers the question here. He writes, the use of vitamin C in alternative cancer treatment isn't new. Proponents claim that large doses of vitamin C are toxic to cancer cells. However, there is no reliable evidence gathered in human studies to support this theory. Studies in the 1970s first suggested that large doses of supplemental vitamin C might be of some benefit in the treatment of cancer, but these studies were later found out to have serious flaws. Subsequent well-designed, randomized, controlled trials of vitamin C in cancer found no such treatment benefit. So they conclude there's still no evidence that vitamin C has any effect on cancer, and until clinical trials are completed, it's premature to determine what role, if any, IV vitamin C may play in the treatment of cancer. That's the conventional view. Well, that is until this week when they released a series of studies that actually made the mainstream media. Health Day reports, this is February 5th, 2014, intravenous vitamin C may boost chemo's cancer-fighting power. Large doses of intravenous vitamin C have the potential to boost chemotherapy's ability to kill cancer cells, according to new laboratory research involving human cells and mice. Vitamin C, this is how you advance science. First, you start with like cells in a petri dish, and they added vitamin C. And what they found is that, in fact, the vitamin C inhibited the growth of the cancer cells and in some cases killed the cancer cells while not harming normal cells. So this is in a test tube, proof of principle, but not conclusive proof that this is going to work in real live human beings. So they did some follow-up trials, and they looked at mice. And they did the treatment with mice. And by the way, there's an entire podcast on this subject that I did with the lead researcher on this, Dr. Jeannie Drisco at University of Kansas Medical Center. And you can find that at drhoffman.com. We did that a couple of months ago because I knew this research was underway. And while I do intravenous vitamin C, she's the one who's really doing the outstanding research with the National Institutes of Health. And so the research with the mice showed that indeed there was a cancer killing potential for high dose vitamin C. And the mice were not harmed by it. And that's good too, because, you know, many chemo drugs, they kill the cancer, but they also have devastating side effects. So, okay, so far so good. Works in mice, doesn't make them sick, helps the cancer. But you're going to say, fine, look, mice are not people, with certain exceptions, right? But you got to prove that this works in people. So here's what they did. They did a clinical trial involving patients with stage 3 or stage 4 ovarian cancer, which is a very advanced and aggressive form of cancer. The patients who received intravenous vitamin C along with their chemo reported less toxicity of the brain, bone marrow, and major organs. Now, here's the clincher. The patients also appeared to add nearly 9 months to the time before their disease relapsed and progressed. Now, what I got to point out here is that this was not a slam. This is not a cure for their cancer. And nor do I claim that intravenous vitamin C as a standalone treatment can vanquish cancer without conventional treatment. But it improves the quality of life of patients and adds months to their survival and can prolong remissions in cancer. And how does it work? Well, according to Dr. Drisco, who I've talked to frequently, it is believed that vitamin C doesn't act as an antioxidant here. You know, we tend to think, well, vitamin C is an antioxidant. And then there's some studies now that say, well, don't take antioxidants. They increase your risk of cancer. Well, I don't believe that. But nonetheless, when you give vitamin C by mouth, take a gram or two or three, it's an antioxidant. When you give it intravenously at very high doses, we're talking 50 grams, 75 grams, up to 100 grams. It's no longer an antioxidant. It chemically converts into hydrogen peroxide. And hydrogen peroxide is responsible for killing the cancer. So why not just give hydrogen peroxide? Well, some doctors do, but I don't like giving hydrogen peroxide because you can give intravenous vitamin C and it doesn't burn the blood vessels as it goes in, as hydrogen peroxide might, but it gets to the cancer, and in the cells, it converts to hydrogen peroxide, thus exerting a killing effect. And so, according to Dr. Drisco, she's quoted here, if you get your blood levels of vitamin C high enough, it gets driven into the space around the cancer cells, it gets converted in hydrogen peroxide, and that helps to fight the cancer. So very interesting validation of something that we've been doing for a long time in the treatment of cancer. It's available from many nutritionally oriented physicians like myself. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 gets you on the program. And before we get to calls, when I ride the subway in the morning, sometimes I walk to work, but it's been really cold, and sometimes it's like I just don't want to deal with it. So I get on the subway and ride down to work in downtown Manhattan. And I see these new ads that are by the New York Department of Consumer Affairs. Are you pouring on the pounds? And they depict sugary beverages as a new hazard. They show soda, but now they're also showing sweetened tea and so-called, quote, juice drinks as being a culprit in promoting disease. And I'm all for this public awareness campaign because we're finally recognizing that sugar is the culprit. And since this is Think Red for heart disease, Women's Heart Disease Month, this story just came out. It's very important. According to the Journal of the American Medical Association, high sugar consumption may double the chance of dying from heart disease. People whose sugar intake is about a quarter or more of their total daily calories had twice the risk of dying from heart disease than those whose intake was just 7% of their total daily calories. For those whose intake of added sugar was about 19%, their risk of dying from heart disease is about 38% higher. So they say that this is the first link on a national level of linking the amount of sugar that American adults consume to their risk of dying from heart disease. So it took them a long time, didn't it? Saturated fat, you think that's the cause of heart disease? That's what they've been saying. That's what all the propaganda and the brainwashing has been about. Well, it turns out, if you look at the studies, saturated fat consumption has absolutely no relationship to the risk of heart disease. You heard me. I looked at the data. You don't believe me? Check out the studies. The studies are now showing that it's not saturated fat that's the culprit, but this study says that it's sugar. According to Laura Schmidt, who is part of the study, Dr. Laura Schmidt, too much sugar can make you fat, can also make you sick, sick from diseases like cardiovascular disease, which is the number one killer in America. I hasten to add that cancer is also part of that equation because sugar drives insulin metabolism. High levels of insulin are associated with many cancers, including cancers of the gastrointestinal tract, pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, and certainly cancers of the reproductive system, prostate cancer in men, breast cancer as well. So new studies suggesting that sugar restriction as a means of slowing the progression of cancer. Also studies, and this is really illustrated perfectly in the book by Dr. David Perlmutter, Grain Brain, that sugar accelerates the progression of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So you may say, look, that's not me. I'm not a big sugar consumer. I'll have a can of soda here and there, no more than a can a day. Is moderate consumption okay? Well, this particular study also found that regular consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, 7 servings per week, was linked to an increased risk of dying from heart disease. So this whole this is the thrust of the campaign by the soda industry. They're saying, look, don't go overboard. Don't drink too much. You know, but moderate consumption is okay. You can work it off, exercise, you'll be fine. Well, no, according to this recent study, there's absolutely no place for added empty calories in our diets. We can ill afford to guzzle this. You know, taste good, flavor sensation, lights up your taste buds, but of no nutritional value, and in fact, a major contributor to our epidemic of heart disease. All right, let's take some calls. Let's talk now to Leona, who's from Skidmore, Missouri. Hi, Leona. You got to turn down your radio in the background.
Leona,
you got your radio down?
Now I've got to turn down.
Okay, good.
I need to ask a question about diabetics. My crumple boy, he's born with spinal, and he, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he found out he's got sugar diabetes, and the count.
Your son has spina bifida, and he's disabled, right? So he's not able to exercise a lot, and he's kind of slowed down?
Yeah, he does. He's been real active all his life. He gets up, and he's able to put his own clothes on and with help the bathroom and all that stuff. But he got feeling fainty, and he went to the doctor, and they said he was diabetic. So
right.
They gave him a pill. I can't remember the name of it, but he sticks his finger every day to see how much the count is and everything.
Okay, so yeah, let me address that. I mean, clearly he's a setup for having diabetes because, you know, he can't move around, he can't exercise, he can't burn off calories, and, you know, maybe through the right kind of physical therapy, we can create a little bit of caloric burn off for him, which would be important and help his diabetes. But really, we got to do mostly through diet. So from the standpoint of diet, you got to put him on a really low carbohydrate diet. What's your son's breakfast like? What does he typically have in the morning?
Well, that was his problem for so many years. He'd eat a roll or maybe something like, not no cereal, just a roll or a cookie or something, then take his meds, and I think this is what's caused it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clearly that's what's caused it.
And so he should have certain cereal and that, don't you think, with milk?
But no, you're on the right track there, because what the typical American healthy breakfast is, you know, like a whole grain cereal with milk, you know, usually it's recommended you have skim milk because it's lower fat. That's not the way to go. The way to go is to have eggs or protein, you know, like salmon or turkey. Yeah, I mean, it sounds weird for breakfast, but, you know, that's the right way to go if you're trying to deal with diabetes. You need an ultra-low carbohydrate diet where you literally count your carbohydrate calories. And, you know, you could. This is all the rage these days. There's lots of resources on the Internet. You can go to our website at drhoffman.com and look at the salad and salmon diet. But, you know, this is not like, I mean, when I first developed the diet in the 1980s, that was novel. But the notion of carbohydrate restriction has really caught up with us these days. And, you know, there's no room for error with him because he's, you know, you get a little leeway sometimes when you can exercise and burn off the calories. But if you're sedentary and disabled, it's a lot worse. I mean, nutrients that will be helpful for him, check out on our website at the store, CM Core. CM Core is really helpful for diabetes. Berberine helps very much like the medication metformin. To control diabetes, it actually in head-to-head comparisons, it turned out to be as effective as metformin in controlling blood sugar, without causing hypoglycemia. Hypoglycemia makes you want to eat more, and you know then you gain weight. And you know, obviously, chromium, vanadium, fish oil, magnesium, all these things are helpful. But it needs a program because otherwise, you know, with spina bifida, you can rapidly go downhill into poorly controlled diabetes, and so you need a nutritional component. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 are our number, and we'll take some more phone calls in just a moment.
I am so glad we ate before we got on the plane.
Me too. Would you like some gum or mints?
What kind do you have?
Spry gum and mints, made with xylitol from the folks at Clear. Both refreshing and good for you. Perfect for when it's not possible to brush your teeth.
Oh, like right now on the plane?
Exactly. You know, bacteria can't break down xylitol, which leads to better dental health. I love it. My teeth feel squeaky clean and my breath is so fresh.
That's great. Give me some. Oh, I wish we could find something to help with the dry air on this plane, too.
Well, Clear makes an all-natural xylitol spray for your nose and sinuses that soothes and moisturizes while not being addictive or harsh. Perfect for airplane travel.
Wow, Clear products really do all that?
Yes, they do. It's the xylitol in them. My whole family uses Clear xylitol products when we travel.
Where can I get them?
You can find Clear and Spry at your favorite health food stores. You know, like Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and Sprouts.
The National Senior Games is looking for a new sport. Karate Kid Ralph Macchio has more.
I'm working with post-shredded wheat, which is a cereal I ate as a child, which is a heart-healthy cereal, and they have decided to challenge the National Senior Game. That this is the Olympics for people who are over 50. They're challenging the National Senior Games to add a new and more extreme sport to their roster of 19 sports. They're looking to add a 20th. So anyone could go online to postshreddedwheatgames.com, it's all one word, and choose from either judo, power walking, fencing, soccer, or weightlifting. It's a very easy site to navigate, and being that it's an Olympic year, it's a perfect tie-in to this. It nurtures a positive lifestyle, and it just seemed like the right partnership. Log on to postshreddedwheatgames.com, vote. You have till February 24th, and it also connects you with the regional games as well as the national games, which take place in 2015.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And you've been hearing a lot of negative stuff about vitamins and supplements lately. Herbs are toxic. Vitamins are worthless. Don't bother taking them. Throw them out. Fish oil is bad for your prostate, and so on. And there's a constant drumbeat of these stories. So as a result, and by popular demand, mark your calendar because we're going to have an emergency summit at the Hoffman Center. It's going to be on February 26th this month. And we're going to marshal all the evidence that debunks the debunkers, that supports the evidence for prudent, properly administered supplementation, and that pushes back against the detractors of supplement use. So call the Hoffman Center. Our number is 212-779-1744 to reserve your place. It's filling up rapidly. That's why I'm announcing it early. We want to get as many people there as possible because nobody else is doing this. The conventional press is very, very pliant and malleable, and they are publishing these stories uncritically, and we need an opportunity, a forum, to provide you with a little bit perspective on what's happening out there. The War on Supplements, 22614 at the Hoffman Center in Midtown Manhattan. Please join us. All right, let's take a call now from Eileen. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I love your show.
Thank you.
My daughter is 38. She was just diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And she's on Plaquenil.
Mm-hmm.
And can you...
How old is she again, did you say?
She's 38.
She's 38. Okay, so she's an adult. Yeah.
Is there anything else she can take?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, rheumatoid arthritis is sometimes really, really serious and does require medication to put the fire out. So I'm not inalterably opposed to using medication. I like to use it as little as possible. You know, now we see ads on TV right away go to the most powerful medications, medications that suppress your immune system, increase your risk of tuberculosis, increase your risk of lymphoma, infections. And they're very costly. They have side effects. So we'd like to use as little medication as possible. Fortunately, the medication you're talking about is first line. The toxicity is not that great. I mean, you have to have your eyes examined. There can be eye toxicity. There can be kidney toxicities. You have to get blood tests. But, it's one of the first things. It's a lighter medication than some of the more powerful drugs out there. But there are natural things that you can do. First of all, an anti-inflammatory diet. What inflames the tissue? Well, lots of sugar, lots of refined foods, lack of essential fatty acids. You need to take omega-3 fatty acids and eat a lot of fish if you're having an inflammatory condition. You need to increase your vitamin D. The vast majority of patients with rheumatoid arthritis have vitamin D that's in the basement, and that's actually something that rheumatologists are recognizing. They're giving their patients 50,000 international units of vitamin D weekly to augment levels, because vitamin D helps to slow the progression of autoimmune disease. Then there's anti-inflammatory nutraceuticals like curcumin from turmeric and boswellin from frankincense. These have anti-inflammatory properties. And you may also want to consider undenatured collagen type 2, UC2. We use a product called Caprex, which is available on our website, drhoffman.com. We'll get you to a description of that. That is a potent extract of hops, and hops has documented anti-inflammatory effects. Patients benefit from a prescription of low-dose naltrexone. Low-dose naltrexone it's actually a standard drug in a diluted form that seems to redirect the immune system away from an autoimmune attack on your joints. It can be used in other autoimmune conditions like multiple sclerosis. So there are a variety of things that you need to do, and you know, nutritionally oriented physicians provide an additional perspective on this, other than just administering powerful drugs. And it makes a huge difference. Then changing the diet, getting rid of food allergens, it could be gluten, it could be dairy, it could be other things. Nightshade vegetables, for example, can exacerbate arthritis. Getting rid of some of those things, going on a more paleo-type diet, really can help. All right, time for an additional phone call after a break. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, then back to a phone call from Joan. Hey, Joan, how you doing?
What do you think of Fosamax for osteoporosis?
Well, you know, I have to say that 10 or 15 years ago, I thought, yeah, you know, I guess there's nothing else that's really that effective, and calcium and vitamin D weren't that effective for rebuilding bones, so I would have patients take it for a while. But I quickly changed my mind, and I'm glad I did. You know, I'm looking at a headline here. Merck agrees to propose $27.7 million settlement over Fosamax lawsuits. The deal covers about 1,200 people, so that probably means that each person's going to get about $82.32, and the rest is going to go to the lawyers. So I don't really believe in these lawsuits, but the problem with Fosamax and its ilk, drugs like Boniva, and what are called the bisphosphonate drugs, is that they build bone by inhibiting the action of osteoclasts. Osteoclasts break down bone, but breaking down bone is part of the process of remodeling bone. So you want to build up and break down, then you remodel. You know, it'd be a little like if you're building up a nice wardrobe, but you never throw out your old clothes, you're just going to accumulate clothes, and your closets are going to be overstuffed. And that's a little bit what happens when you build bone with these drugs. The reason for lawsuits is that after use of more than 4 or 5 years, we're seeing an alarming incidence of pathological fractures where you wouldn't expect people to fracture. Their bones just snap. So what we use these days is we use a combination of calcium and vitamin D. The product I use is OsteoSupport, which I developed myself, that has calcium and cofactors. But we also use Ostera, which is a hops derivative. Importantly, we use vitamin K. And we use strontium. And strontium is a proven bone builder used in Europe for treating osteoporosis with a good track record. And safe and effective. And it not just slows the progression of osteoporosis, it actually helps to rebuild bone. Very effective. And I'm very happy that I don't have to rely on Fosamax anymore. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Make sure that you subscribe to our newsletter, radio program at AOL.com. We'll get you a subscription. And check out our new website. We're very proud of it, drhoffman.com. Until next week, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.